Woke is just another way of saying unhappy, anxious, and depressed. And that's according to science. But which is the cause and which is the effect? Hey, everybody, I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott. This is Right Angle, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, there was a pair of studies done in Scandinavia. You've heard of that place, haven't you? That showed that people who describe themselves as woke or having these sort of these woke beliefs also suffer from unhappiness, anxiousness, and depression at much higher rates than those of us who are unwoke or based, as the kids say. This is courtesy of the Scandinavian Journal of Psychology. The studies found that having critical social justice attitudes, being woke, meant seeing people foremost, this is a quote, foremost as members of identity groups and as being witting or unwitting perpetrators or victims of oppression based on the group's perceived power differentials. So, Scott, that isn't your beloved Aunt Mabel who always has candy in her purse. That's a victim of the patriarchy, and she doesn't even know it, and it's your duty to help her. Is it any wonder these people just report themselves as feeling anxious and depressed?
Yeah, I think you asked the right question at the beginning. Is it the fact that holding these views about humanity drives you into depression, so to speak, or is it that kind of perspective on life that is a depressed or negative perspective on life drives you to believe these things, that people must be judged in the aggregate, that they're trapped perpetually in the state that they're born in, that, you know, that the poor are the poor and they'll always be the same group of individuals all the way through their lives. It's not that people move in and out of poverty, you know, that whatever we may have done to remedy wrongs done against various groups of people in the past, it's nothing compared to the work that remains to be done yet. And we should be ashamed of ourselves if we're proud of the civil rights movement, you know? So it's, I think last week we talked about basically people who are driven by activity and those who are preoccupied with the state that they're in, their emotional state, and they're constantly evaluating how they feel about things. And actually, this may sound strange, but my heart kind of breaks for the people who are trapped in that state consciousness where, you know, in their hearts, they see injustice, and it hurts them. Like, they have an emotional response to it, to something they perceive to be injustice. I'm not saying it is injustice, but they perceive it to be injustice. And then they tend to catastrophize from that and broaden the scope of the injustice so that it embraces everybody, not just the individual that happened to or the news story that we read, but it's a pandemic, essentially, in society that needs to be remedied, and it'll never be remedied because those people are in charge. So, you know, it's a swirling vortex of negative thoughts and emotions that carries you ever downward, and really, really kind of heartbreaking to see people have to go through that, especially because a lot of these folks, and I've met many people like this, they're actually bright, kind people who really are compassionate, but they get sucked into this world. Now, it's not a passive thing that they get sucked into this world. There is a whole industry that's designed to suck you into this world. And so if you find yourself being drawn into that, you might want to look at where the source of that vacuum force emanates, because there is somebody who is profiting by making you feel that way all the time and by making you think that you unfortunately were born into the worst period of American history.
Indeed. Bill, because of their worldview, and again, this goes back to this pair of studies, the woke must, and this is a quote, advocate regulating how or how much people speak and how they act if there is a perceived power differential between speakers and intervening in action or speech deemed oppressive. And it's just all this busybody, nanny statism. But the worst of it, and I swear I'm not making this up, is you're not even allowed to enjoy a beautiful spring day. I'm not making this up.
No.
I saw this, I found this article in a publication called The Stranger, and the author of this piece is Charles Mudidi, who saw this really offensive tweet just horrifying stuff from the Seattle Weather Blog, which is where I always go to for my hot offensive takes. The Seattle Weather Blog posted, St. Patrick's Day usually brings a soul-crushing 42-degree rain. Not this year. This weather is perfection. And of course, we can't have that. This Charles guy wrote, as much as I admire Seattle Weather Blog, and who doesn't, the last line in their March 17 tweet is alarming, if not horrifying, and certainly bad social engineering. To make matters worse, the weekend's feel-good directive was universally expressed by the local news and social media. Even today, March 18, which is warm and breezy, KIRO7 encouraged its audience to just enjoy the sunshine. But how on earth is this possible when the brightness of the sun and the warmth of the air are freaks of nature? Bill, imagine
what is
getting so wrapped up in your wokeness that you have to complain about people enjoying the brightness and warmth of the sun because they're freaks of nature caused by global climate change?
I'm pretty sure the sun was here before the climate change was.
Hey, shut your disbelieving mouth.
I'm sorry. I need to follow the science. Well, while you were speaking, I realized, you know, you're talking about how unhappy these woke people are. And I gave myself a 60-second challenge to see if I could come up with an acronym for woke, which was not so hard except for the K. So I came up with weird, obese, know-it-all, and emotion junkies. And that's really what they are. They're emotion junkies. And I'd love to take credit for this one. But I was watching a video where somebody was talking about the quality of woke people and how how the paradox is that they're always on patrol for other people's behavior, but basically get to do whatever they want to for themselves all the time, anywhere, without any consequences. Mm-hmm. And what this person said was, they're ashamed of nothing and they're offended by everything.
Oh.
And I thought, wow. That's the kind of thing that just rings the clarity bell for you, which tells me, Steve, that the there's one thing at the bottom of woke, and it's narcissism, and I think there's no doubt about it. It's narcissism. It's the idea that I, by my outrage, am going to save the planet. I'm going to cure injustice. I alone, through my vigilance and my determination to fight, you know, to fight the patriarchy, fight the white supremacy, fight all of this. I, me, blah blah. I'm going to save the planet. I'm also going to save entire races of oppression from people like me because they're not capable of saving themselves or acting on their own. You understand? It's going to take a super genius, super, super finely tuned, emotionally brilliant person like myself to come in and solve the problems of the world, which have never been touched before by anybody who's ever come before me. It's all about me. And this is why people like conservatives have to be made into Nazis, because if we're Nazis, then these miserable, unhappy neurotics are fighting against a great evil. But if it turns out we're people that just disagree with them, then they're just miserable neurotics that are just sitting around on the couch, you know, complaining about things. Now, with all of that rancor out of my system, I have to keep coming back. I have to keep coming because it's directed at me, you know. All of this generational hatred about the planet, about global warming, about supremacy, about patriarchy, all of it. It's all aimed at the three of us. It's not aimed at them. It's aimed at us. So I take it personally, because I'm not I'm not a racist, I'm not a misogynist, and I'm not neurotic.
That's a good way
most of the time. Most of the time. But seriously, here's the thing. When you get right down to it, you could make a pretty compelling case that this is one of the greatest injustices in history, to deprive one if not two entire generations and counting of happiness. I mean, that's really what they've done. What the progressives and the left have done is created a philosophy that creates out of this entire generation voters who are willing to follow emotionally whatever they're told without any critical thinking. They're not only not encouraged to think critically or to look at alternate ideas. They're told that just doing so is a violation of who you are. You're a bad person if you even listen to an opposing opinion. And so what they've done is they've created a generation of young kids who simply cannot have any fun. Because how can you have fun when the planet's dying? How can you have fun when white supremacy is ruining lives? How can you have fun, you know, when the patriarchy is causing such misery? When I said briefly dated, I went on one date with this person. This was a long time ago, early 90s here in Los Angeles. And went on one date with her. When I knocked on the door to pick her up for the second date, she wouldn't answer the door. She was crying. And she couldn't come out for the date because of all the injustice that was happening in South Africa. She just couldn't bear it. No, I'm not joking.
I know.
I'm not joking.
Run fast. Don't look back.
And what I finally came to about this, because this caused me to do some deep thinking, unlike, you know, just saying, what a lunatic. I really thought, how do you actually cope with this problem, right? I mean, on one hand, on the obvious hand, she's having a complete emotional meltdown about something that she has no direct emotional connection to. It's all theoretical. She doesn't know people, right? She doesn't have friends that are being oppressed in South Africa. It's a theoretical problem that has completely immobilized her. At the same time, I don't want to go through life with filters that are so thick that I'm immune to the idea of other people suffering. So how do you tune that? How do you maintain a level of legitimate concern and a willingness to try to improve a situation of things that are outside of your control? How do you basically tune that that boundary? And I think, generally speaking, conservatives do a pretty good job of it. You know, we're compassionate people. We want to help people. If you look at how conservatives behave in terms of the volunteer work they do and the church and all the rest of this stuff, they're certainly willing to help people who are in need. But they're also saying things along the lines of, if I help you, the very least I'm going to expect is that you're going to also try to help yourself. When you get to a situation where the entire planet is dependent on your perception of how much you're doing to stop these endless crises on a daily basis, you just turn an entire generation into a bunch of miserable neurotics. And it's no wonder their suicide rates are so high. It's no wonder their drug abuse rates are so high. It's no wonder they're not having sex. They're not in relationships. They're just plain miserable. And they didn't do this to themselves. There are people who did this to them, and these are the people that we're fighting, not the victims of this, although insufferable they most certainly are.
Yes, indeed. You know, Bill, you made me realize two thoughts that I've had many, many times individually, but I've never quite put them together. And the first is there's this progressive conceit that it's not a moral action unless it's committed by the government. So they're horrified when a neighborhood gets together to buy the elderly woman who broke her hip a new walker, but it's noble when the government provides her with one eventually after she's filled out all the paperwork and the forms in triplicate and all that.
Address that just because it's – I'm so sorry, yeah. Steve. Just because it's right on the point I'm trying to make. Volunteering to get this woman help means that you have to contribute either your time or your money or both. That requires effort on my part. On the other hand, if I say, no, this is evil, the government should be handling it, that's just lip service. Yeah. And they got plenty of that. Well, and that's where the difference is, you see.
And I think, Bill, this is one of the sources of their unhappiness, because the second thing I'm always thinking of is the government can't do anything right or hardly anything right. So, number one, they insist that the government be in charge of all this, and then they're horrified because nothing is ever fixed. Well, yeah, you had the government try and do it. That's why you're miserable. Anyway, there's a lot of talk about wokeness, and I really like the way the study defined it. If you go to my page, Vodka Planet at PJ Media, there's a link to this study, and you can get into the stuff, which I found fascinating. But if I were to define wokeness for you, I'd say that it's like Skynet just took regular vanilla political correctness and manufactured a cybernetic organism for it. Living tissue over a metal endoskeleton. It's the Terminator T-101 of political correctness, and it can't be bargained with. It can't be reasoned with. It doesn't feel pity or remorse or fear, and it absolutely will not stop ever until you are as unhappy, anxious, and depressed as it is. And that's your right angle on that, brought to you by the very unwoke members of BillWhittle.com. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.